Behind her, in the darkness of the alley, a green flickering glow was bathing Ford Prefect's face, and his eyes were slowly widening in astonishment. For where he had expected to find nothing, an erased closed-off entry, there was instead a continuous stream of data. Text, diagrams, figures and images, moving descriptions of surf on Australian beaches, yogurt on Greek islands, restaurants to avoid in Los Angeles, currency deals to avoid in Istanbul, weather to avoid in London, bars to go everywhere. Pages and pages of it. It was all there. Everything he had written. With a deepening frown of blank incomprehension, he went backwards and forwards through it, stopping here and there at various entries. Tips for aliens in New York. Land anywhere. Central Park, anywhere. No one will care, or indeed even notice. Surviving. Get a job as a cab driver immediately. A cab driver's job is to drive people anywhere they want to go in big yellow machines called taxis. Don't worry if you don't know how the machine works and you can't speak the language, don't understand the geography or indeed the basic physics of the area, and have large green antennae growing out of your head. Believe me, this is the best way of staying inconspicuous. If your body is really weird, try showing it to people in the streets for money. Amphibious life forms from any of the worlds in the Swelling, Noxious or Norzalia systems will particularly enjoy the East River, which is said to be richer in those lovely life-giving nutrients than the finest and most virulent laboratory slime yet achieved. Having fun. This is the big section. It is impossible to have more fun without electrocuting your pleasure centres. Ford flipped the switch, which he saw was now marked Mode Execute Ready, instead of the now old-fashioned access standby, which had so long ago replaced the appallingly Stone Age, off. This was a planet he had seen completely destroyed, seen with his own two eyes, or rather blinded as he had been by the hellish disruption of air and light, felt with his own two feet as the ground had started to pound at him like a hammer, bucking, roaring, gripped by tidal waves of energy pouring out of the loathsome yellow Vogon ships. And then at last, 5 seconds after the moment he had determined as being the last possible moment had already passed, the gently swinging nausea of dematerialisation as he and Arthur Dent had been beamed up through the atmosphere like a sports broadcast. There was no mistake. There couldn't have been. The Earth had definitely been destroyed. Definitely. Definitely. Boiled away into space. And yet here, he activated the guide again, was his own entry on how you would set about having a good time in Bournemouth, Dorset, England, which he had always prided himself on as being one of the most baroque pieces of invention he had ever delivered. He read it again and shook his head in sheer wonder. Suddenly he realised what the answer to the problem was, and it was this, that something very weird was happening. And if something very weird was happening, he thought, he wanted it to be happening to him. He stashed the guide back in his satchel and hurried out onto the street again. Walking north again, he passed a steel-grey limousine parked by the curbside, and from a nearby doorway he heard a soft voice saying, "It's okay, honey, it's really okay. You've got to learn to feel good about it. Look at the way the whole economy is structured." Ford grinned, detoured round the next block which was now in flames, found a police helicopter which was standing unattended in the street, broke into it, strapped himself in, crossed his fingers, and sent it hurtling inexpertly into the sky. 10 minutes later, with all the copter's sirens blaring and its rapid-fire cannon blasting at random into the clouds, Ford Prefect brought it careering down among the gantries and landing lights at hand-dulled spaceport, where it settled like a gigantic, startled, and very noisy gnat. Since he hadn't damaged it too much, he was able to trade it in for a first-class ticket on the next ship leaving the system, and settled into one of its huge, voluptuous, body-hugging seats. This was going to be fun, he thought to himself, as the ship blinked silently across the insane distances of deep space and the cabin service got into its full, extravagant swing. "Yes, please," he said to the cabin attendants whenever they glided up to offer him anything at all. He smiled with a curious kind of manic joy as he flipped again through the mysteriously reinstated entry on the planet Earth. He had a major piece of unfinished business that he would now be able to attend to, and was terribly pleased that life had suddenly furnished him with a serious goal to achieve. It suddenly occurred to him to wonder where Arthur Dent was, and if he knew.